The Lord has a sense of humor. In the 17th century, he appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who was a visitation nun, a cloistered nun in the middle of nowhere, France. And when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary, he said, "I want you to make known to the whole world about my Sacred Heart that beats out of love for man, and man returns nothing but ice." And so in Catholic churches throughout the world, many of us have these Sacred Heart statues like we do to remind us where the heart is actually protruding out of the body of the Lord about his Sacred Heart, of his great love for us. And then you fast forward almost 300 years, and this time, instead of appearing to a cloistered nun, he appears to a nun who is in an active community, a community that teaches and things like that. Although St. Faustina did not do that. She had very little education, and most of her duties in the convent were connected to the kitchen or to cleaning. And so when the Lord came to her in the 1900s, he told her something similar. The divine mercy. I want you to make known to the whole world the divine mercy, and I want there to be a feast of it the Sunday after Easter. Later, the painting, which we have behind by Our Lady's altar, is something that's all over the world, just like the Sacred Heart. And the reasoning behind it is similar to the Sacred Heart. The hearts of men have grown cold in the face of the love of God. So when St. Faustina was asked to make it so that someday the church would celebrate Divine Mercy on this Sunday, nothing about this Sunday has changed. We still hear about the institution of the Sacrament of Confession. The first movement of the Holy Spirit, he breathed on them and said, "Whose sins you retain are retained, whose sins you forgive are forgiven." Making an abundant opportunity for people to receive the mercy of God. And when you think of what's changed in the last 90 years since St. Faustina first had these revelations, now people actually shake their fist at God and tell him that what he condemns is no longer condemnable, but should be lauded. You don't need divine mercy for sin because these things aren't sins anymore. And nothing could be further from the truth, because what that shows is a hardening of the heart of mankind. And the Lord, instead of raining down thunderbolts and lightning and brimstone, instead he reminds us of his great mercy. He reminds us of everything he did so that the obstacles between him and us could be removed. And he removed them. And so what a gross age that we live in, that now people don't even accept that sin is sin and don't think that they need to be healed of it. And look at what it's done to our culture. We live in a base culture dominated by the passions, where we're supposed to agree with every evil that was condemned in the Bible and say that it's all good now. And how could we dare do such a thing without betraying the divine mercy? So it's really incumbent upon us to stand fast in the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what St. John was telling us in the second reading, that everyone who believes in Christ is a child of the Father. And we know that we love God and that we are his children by keeping his commandments, not by changing them. And the reason I mention this is because it's always dangerous when we live in a culture like ours that we can easily be infected by the culture, because none of us is immune to it. It's not like we can throw up a bubble and never see or hear any of the terrible things that go on in our own country. And so we have to be rooted in Christ. And being rooted in Christ, first of all, means accepting who we are, sinners in need of his mercy, and sinners who have received his mercy. And that's why we should never condone sin, because everyone who sins needs God's mercy. And so we have a duty then to be missionaries of the mercy of God. We can never tell somebody that something is not a sin that is a sin, but we can tell them that Jesus Christ wants to heal you of that sin, that Jesus Christ will come into your soul with his grace and remove that sin and give you his very life and love, the very life and love of the Holy Trinity. So the message of divine mercy is a powerful message, and it's one that started at the very beginning of the Passion, and it's one that will continue until the Lord comes in glory. And so for you and for me, our duty as people who have been baptized into the very redemption of Jesus Christ is to make sure that our feet are firmly planted on gospel principles, and that we live that way at home and away from home, at work, at play, that we are totally imbued by the gospel. And when we recognize places in our life where that is not the truth, that we get right back to that line and get to confession to experience and receive the divine mercy. And then we have to share this message. Everybody who thinks that by clinging to their sin that they're living in freedom is wrong. The only true freedom that this world could ever know is the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. As we watch our own culture devolve into a terrible slavery to sin, we can see it. That's not freedom, but Jesus Christ is. He has come to set us free from our sins so that we can live in the freedom of the children of God already on this earth, and of course, forever in heaven.